It's been a while since we've had Rick Bruning here with us, and today we will catch up with him, hear some music, and we're going to get started with a song and then chat a bit. Here is Rick Bruning.
There's an empty chair at the table. That's where Johnny's supposed to be. There'll be no jokes of younger folks, no photos we must see. This weekly get-together wears a silent, solemn air. A time now for reflection, because Johnny isn't there. More than 40 years have seen these old steelworkers meet. Now less than a dozen with sore backs and tired feet. It's not because they're working hard, it's just because they're old. Their numbers dwindle every year since the factory's been sold. This group of friends depends upon each other. This group of friends a part of history. Though often they may disagree, they're soon to make amends. Life can't separate this group of friends. They've all known the tough times, they all have battle scars. Cold picket walks and contract talks for steady reservoirs. Their work days now have ended, but not the brotherhood. And it always hurts a little if one's headed home for good. And they will say farewell to him tomorrow. They will say there was no better man. They'll repeat the score of so many gone before. And they'll carry on as friends carry on. This will pass, no harm to ask for better times ahead. They'll fondly tease and laugh at all the things that Johnny said. And one day every one of them will leave an empty chair to make room for another group of friends to gather there. This group of friends depends upon each other. This group of friends a part of history. Though often they may disagree, they're soon to make amends. Life can't separate this group of friends. Life can't separate this group of friends.
It's Rick Bruning at the Saturday Light Brigade. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Tell me about that song and how old is it and the inspiration, if you can.
Well, the last I was here was 2009, so it's been a few. But this came along the year following that, and I always felt being so connected to Western Pennsylvania and the steel industry growing up in Newcastle, we didn't have the manufacturers of the steel, but we had plenty of businesses that worked with steel and were the end products. And like so many other towns in the area, there's really no steel going on up in Newcastle, not to speak of anyway. And I grew up with a lot of fellows that ended up working in the mill, and
So I've had a bit of connection to the steel industry. I had a friend, a very close friend, who actually wrote the song before he passed away. But when he passed away, I had originally put the word buddy in the song. But my friend's name was John, and he actually had spent some time in the mill. So after he passed away, I figured this is his song now, and I changed the word to Johnny then.
Where did he work? What
Was it Rock? I believe it was Rockwell Steel up in Newcastle.
Okay, wow, that's going back quite
ways. It was either Rockwell Steel or Mesta Machinery, one of the
Mesta.
Two.
Or Messed Up, as it was called. And I don't know if you've ever heard it called that way. Mesta Machinery made the machines that made the steel. I mean, they made big. You've seen steel mills as you listening. I know that Rick's seen them, but you've seen steel mills. And imagine, you know, who makes the steel mills? Well, Mesta did that. And big, huge plants. Did you work in steel at any time?
I never worked in steel, but I did. I had a sign business early on years ago, back in the early 70s. And that got me into the mill, seeing where the signs that I would produce, where they were going
to
go.
Yeah, so you would have to go pick up your stuff. And or you're making signs that actually would get placed in mills. Mm-hmm. And that's, forgive me for digressing here a little bit, but one of the terrific things about Pittsburgh's recovery and resurgence, while not yet complete and thorough, you think about the steel industry and all of the other industries, you know, who stocks all the bathrooms, who makes all the safety equipment, who makes the sides, and who makes the posts that the sides go on. And it's a huge ecosystem that needs to be maintained and updated as time goes on. Have you been touring or recording much? Or?
When I was here in 09, I had just started at that point. I'm not sure that I even talked about it at all, but at that point, I had been part of a social service agency up in Newcastle because my last business effort ended in a bankruptcy. And when that happened, I was without a way to make money.
We didn't talk about that. Yeah.
Well, I ended up being placed because I was actually a senior citizen at the time. I had just turned 55. So I qualified for being in this program that would help you get back on your feet. They placed you in they didn't want to call it a job, so they placed you in a position helping a company somewhere in the area that you got paid for. Eventually, I became the job developer. I was the one who went out looking for jobs for everyone else that was in the program. And eventually, they hired me to do that. So it was kind of nice. I became a positive for them. But one of my trips out to try to find a job for one of my people, I stopped in a nursing home. And I don't remember if they hired the person I stopped there for. I just know that day I had my guitar in my car. And I had never thought about this, but I thought, I wonder if they'd be interested if I come in and play a couple of songs. So I went in and checked. And they said, sure, come in. In I went. I think I did about a half hour's worth of music. But I had a wonderful time. And I think the folks that I played for, I think they had a good time as well. I did that a couple of more times and then got to realize that there's a possibility here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can carve out a living doing that, depending on what your needs are, and you couldn't ask for a more fulfilling.
Boy, isn't that right?
Yeah, it's a terrific thing to be able to do.
And I think there's more people getting to know that this happens, and so there's a lot of folks out there now who are doing it. But all the folks that I have met, they all understand that this isn't just going and singing your songs. There's a ministry involved in this, and those who see it that way, I believe, stick around a little bit longer.
Well, that's great. Rick Bruning is the gentleman here with us today, Bruening. I just put his picture up on our Facebook page so you can see what he looks like. And as you listen, I've had a number of people we do that occasionally, and a few folks have said, you got to do that all the time. It's a lot of fun. So that's one more thing to do, but I'm happy to do it.
My hair's a little bit whiter than it was last time here, Larry. I can't say that about you. Where'd you...
No, I'm about the same, I think. Probably a little heavier and slightly tired, or maybe. I don't know. But what would you like to do next?
I've got a song that I had an occasion to run into a gal that, the situation was that she was in an apartment building, and she was there because she had been separated from her husband. She spent a bit of time basking in the sun by the pool, and I would chat with her at different times while she was out there getting her sunbathing in, and I wrote a song for her. So this is a song called Josie.
Walking Josie, when you walk today, where you walking Josie, you know you just can't leave and walk away. What you thinking Josie, and our forgotten vow, what you thinking, Josie? Is it worth the pain you're feeling now? Teach you, Josie, teach you what to pray. Who will teach you, Josie, teach you to forgive no matter what they say? And when you listen, Josie, though it be tough to stay, if you love him, Josie, then you got to love him all the way. Whatever road you take will be a hard road. Whatever path you take is worth a chance when love's at stake. Where you walking, Josie? Walk today. Where you walking, Josie? You know you just can't leave. And walk away.
That's Rick Bruning at the Saturday Live Brigade. That's a nice song, and you really let's talk about your guitar playing a little bit. When did you start? How did you learn? And looks like this guitar You're playing now, which is a guild, has probably been with you since, I'm guessing, the 70s, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I started playing when I was 14, so that was a bit before the 70s. And growing up, I come from a pretty large family, 9 kids in my family. So while many of my friends were getting brand new gifts for their birthdays, my family was quite accustomed to getting something that came from the secondhand store, which was fine. And that's where my first guitar came from.
Where were you in birth order? Did you have six brothers and sisters?
I have 5 brothers and 3 sisters.
That's wow. Okay, so 9 kids. So where were you age-wise?
Well, there's a junior on my last name, so I'm the oldest son, but I was 3rd in the pecking order.
Wow. Okay.
So I have 2 older sisters.
Wow. And you were starting to say the guitar?
Well, it was a nice old guitar. I believe it was a Harmony guitar, so I didn't start off with guilds. But this particular guitar does not – I've been playing so much, Larry, that this looks like an old guitar.
Oh, it's younger than it looks.
The guitar is maybe 8 years old tops.
Huh. So. It's nice. So I just remember Guild, I guess it's partly the design that has not changed. It's just got – there's a time when Guild still is a very popular mm-hmm. make, but there was a time when it seemed like you would see a Guild anywhere you would go. were you self-taught at the age of 14?
Started just strumming around just with the rest of my friends. But the picking aspect, there was a particular Crosby, Stills, and Nash song that I was very interested in. The song was called Helplessly Hoping. So that was the first song that I learned how to do the picking pattern on Helplessly Hoping, and things just continued on from there.
And what about songwriting? When did you start?
In high school. And, of course, the first songs that I've written, I've thrown them all away now because they were all heartbreak songs. I had plenty of those heartbreak songs. You know, I definitely wanted to put them in the trash.
Where did you go to high school?
Growing up in Newcastle, when I first went into 10th grade into high school, they had just built a vocational school that was a few miles outside of town, out in Shenango Township. And they had an art course, a commercial art course, and I applied to be accepted there, and I was. So that's where I went to high school.
So that's, I can see the sign-making business made mm-hmm. use of your artistic skills, probably.
My instructor, his name was Jerry Zona, and everyone in the class. He was such an incredible mentor for everyone in that class. Good guy, but he had a knack for doing the sign, the lettering with the lettering brush. So
interesting. And those... I often, grocery store signs, like the sale signs that they put up,
yeah.
And I try to avoid grocery stores these days. But when I was a kid, I was always amazed at, like, I always wanted to meet the guy that made those signs. They were always like these beautifully painted, you know, signs that looked so precise and
those were done so quickly. Those were just a slap them down. Get them out of here as quick as you could because they didn't pay much for those particular signs, so you didn't want to spend much time.
Where did those come from? I mean, would a store hire an artist to just quickly put those together, do you think? Or?
Well, I personally never did the grocery store signs, but one of my competitors down in Elwood City, he did tons of them. So
I never thought, and today I suspect they're mechanically done. Maybe not, but
most sign painters are dinosaurs.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about that. I'm sure it's stenciled or just mechanically.
The printing process now is so quick, and you just enter it into the computer, and it's just hard to compete with technology.
So. Yeah. Do you still do any like 2D, any visual art just for fun?
Not really. No. My brother still runs the company that I started back in 74. So
wow.
Bruning Signs is still in existence in Newcastle, but he's done a wonderful job. He's taken it much further than I ever would have. So.
No. Well, you found, as you said before, a great calling. Playing for people. I put a link to Rick's website up at our Facebook page. There's also one at slbradio.org. It's easy. It's backwoodsfolk.com. woodsfolk.com. And you can learn more about him and also contact him through the website. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings here. And thank you for being along with us. Rick Bruning is playing along today, and he's got a lot of songs with him. And what would you like to do next?
Well, this song I wrote it the year that I was here last. I had a chance to go with some other songwriters on the weekend, and the intention of this get-together was to write a song as a group. And I had not really done that, and I don't know that anyone else in the group had done that. So we got together, went over to Holmes County, Ohio, which is big Amish community over in Holmes County. Although we weren't there to visit the Amish. It was a very cold and wintry day when we were there. So we spent most of our time in the old farmhouse that was a restored resort a bit. It was called Annie's Place. And we spent quite a bit of time talking about a song, what we were going to write, and took a lot of notes, but never wrote the song. And I ended up with the notes. I went home with the notes. But I thought it was my job then to write the song. But when I was there, one of the things I did was look through some journals that were on the shelf from the folks who used to live in Annie's Place, who grew up there, who spent their lives growing up on this farm, this old farm in Ohio. And one of the gals in that book was, I believe, a sister to Annie, and she never got any recognition. So her name was Mary, and I wrote a song for Mary called Old Bed Covers.
Cold when a wind is blowing, oh, hear the floorboards creak. Muffled repetition since the faucet sprung a leak. Aunt Mary rises from her chair to hush the endless squeaking. 5 minutes more to bank the fire, then change into her gown. It's time to pull the old bed covers down. Oh, oh. Time to pull the old bed covers down. Winter days are filled up, it seems, with endless toil. Fetching wood, trim the lamp, fill the base with oil. Get the new seed started, soon time to turn the soil. 4 years the family filled this house, now seldom come around. But it's time to pull the old bed covers down. Oh, oh, time to pull the old bed covers down. A peacefulness remains in spite of snow and cold. The young girl dancing in her heart, in spite of growing older. The memories that keep her warm restrain the valid frown when she pulls the old bed covers down. Cold when a wind is blowing, oh, hear the floorboards creak. Neighbors knocking at her door who visit once a week. Mary counts her blessings to listen to them speaking. She's fixing a late supper, then it's changing to her gown. It's time to pull the old bed covers down. Oh, oh, time to pull the old bed covers down. It's time to pull the old bed covers down, and it's none too soon. Slip between the well-worn quilt, gaze at the quarter moon. Through the broken shutters, invite the misty crown. It's time to pull the old bed covers down. Oh, oh, time to pull the old bed covers down.
Rick Bruning at the Saturday Live Brigade. That's another nice song. There's a lot of imagery and in all the songs you're doing. And that one, it was a little different since there was a bit of a collaboration involved, at least in some of the lyrics, it sounds like. But what's your process like? Do you find yourself observing things and writing? You strike me as somebody who might write words first, but I'm not sure about
that. Usually. That's usually the case. The inspiration has always been more of a the lyrical aspect comes first, and then trying to fit some kind of a melody. But a lot of times you've got to adjust your lyrics. If you pull up a melody or put something down on paper that well, it just requires some adjustment. You do that.
Are you actively writing these days?
I wish I could tell you yes, but the reality is no. But I'm going to finish this all up today with my most recent song, which is maybe 3 weeks old.
Well, that's pretty good. I would imagine as you visit some of the assisted living homes or, you know, nursing homes, I just have a feeling you're going to get some inspiration as you do that to write. Maybe not. I don't know.
Most of the music that I write, it has the subject matter generally has something to do with somewhere in antiquity.
I just know, you know, my folks towards at the end of their lives lived in a facility that sort of offered graduated care, as they euphemistically call it now, independent care and assisted living. And I saw a lot of things that inspired me as I looked. I mean, the people who work there and certainly the people who live there and their family members. It's just you know, you've got a whole new community that's created out of something that hadn't been there before, with people coming together suddenly, and it's really incredible. And you're adding to that with the visits that you make.
I get some great stories from visiting with these people, but these are folks that they've been through the mill, and no matter what the stage of their age is. Some of them have gone quite downhill by the time I get to meet them. But there's still plenty of things that you can learn from these folks.
Absolutely. And sometimes it takes a stranger or a third party.
Sometimes.
Because at least some folks I've talked with about this is since you did not know them when, your expectations are a little different,
yeah.
And they can kind of be their present self with you as opposed to the expectations of, say, maybe 40 years ago when you were their little boy. So it makes for a different kind of relationship. Yeah. Rick Bruning's here. We probably have time for three more songs just to keep you sort of in planning mode here. It's good to listen. What would you like to do next?
Well, since you've had a green Irish thing going today, I would like to add my 2 cents to the Irish portion.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day with the parade today, it kind of snuck up on us because it really St. Patrick's Day is not for another 6 days, but I guess they wanted to have the parade the Saturday before rather than the day after.
When I heard you mention it on the radio on the drive in, I thought, I knew I was a bit early, and I thought, I think it's good that I'm early just in case.
Yeah, it's a good choice.
It turns out it was no had no effect on the driving. But
I think people get into place very early for the parade.
So, well, my son lives out in Colorado. you know, as a young man, I took my trip out west after I had gotten out of high school. So I went out there to sow my wild oats, and I did that for a couple of years. But I come back. My son went out to Colorado about 15 years ago, and he's still out there. So I make a trip out every year, and on my way out or on my way back, I always go through Nashville, Tennessee. As a songwriter, you know, every songwriter has to go there. So, but Irish music is something I very much am deeply into, listening to anyway. And this has been almost 10 years that I went through Nashville and wondered if there were any Irish pubs there. So I ended up in an Irish pub. There were two. I think I saw two in the phone book. So there was one I found. I spent a couple hours listening to a wonderful Irish trio. And in the senior homes, I have a whole Irish program. So right now, that's all I'm doing in the senior homes that I go to. It's only Irish. So I might have to get into the right mood to do this next song. So. Anyway, this group that I got to see in Nashville, they inspired this next song. So it's my Irish song. I went to Nashville, Tennessee, which is the country music capital of the world, and I wrote an Irish song. Ice was on me window pane, the wind was blowing hard. Me paycheck underneath the snow somewhere in the yard. Balloon out of me pocket as I approached the door. How could I buy a new supply of groceries at the store? I was driving my late model car through the busiest part of town. The muffler falling off informed everyone around. So I tried to find a shortcut to avoid the local cops. And then me tire gets a flat, me whole demeanor drops. Well, I've been under house arrest, caught by Murphy's Law. Every time this happens, it should be the final straw. A wiser man, I'm sure, would say these trials should prove your grit. It's not what you do with all the crap, it's what you do in spite of it. And every Irish song, I think, if they don't have one, there ought to be a drinking verse. So this is my drinking verse. I stepped into the local pub, it's like me second home. So ordered up me favorite stout, but I hate to drink alone. I spied a young and pretty lass, I suddenly got bold. When asked if she would join me, she cried, "You're much too old." Well, I've been under house arrest, caught by Murphy's Law. Every time this happens, it should be the final straw. A wiser man, I'm sure, would say these trials should prove your grit. It's not what you do with all the crap, it's what you do in spite of it. Through all this tribulation, I never would have guessed I'd missed too many payments, so me house was repossessed. And now I'm broke, and I find myself a wishing on a star. I can't fill up me gas tank, but I'm living in me car. Well, I've been under house arrest, caught by Murphy's Law. Every time this happens, it should be the final straw. A wiser man, I'm sure, would say these trials should prove your grit. It's not what you do with all the crap, it's what you do in spite of it. Yes, a wiser man, I'm sure, would say these trials should prove your grit.
is not what you do with all the crap, it's what you do in spite of it.
That's a fun song. That's Rick Brunig at the Saturday Light Brigade. You would not think that song came out of Nashville.
No.
I haven't been to Nashville. That's a place I would like to go one of these days. I've been to Memphis and Knoxville, but not Nashville and eastern Tennessee, too.
Well, there's 600,000 folks that live around there, so it's not the smallest town.
No. I'd enjoy going there, probably to see the Ryman and some other things. I don't know if I want to see the big, huge Grand Ole Opry, maybe.
Well, usually the music I do is a little more laid back. So I actually did, though. One of my trips to Nashville, I got my guitar out and played along the side, just like all the other musicians that go there. So I did it just to say I did it. But for the most part, most of what I do wouldn't be heard very well. So,
It never occurred to me to think about that. But is there you were busking outside playing? Or
I had my guitar case open. I can tell you, I might have been busking, but it wasn't very successful.
I mean, are streets in Nashville lined with buskers? Or
no, there's a certain section there that the musicians do tend to go to. Trying to think, it probably was on Broadway, the street Broadway, which is a very, very famous street in Nashville. And I know that the day that I was out there, it was a pretty nice day. There probably were at least a dozen other musicians in just the general area where I was. So. But, you know, one of the things that Nashville is definitely known for country music, but it's also the motorcycle capital of the world.
I didn't know that.
I don't know whether they actually say that, but there are tons of motorcycles going through Nashville.
That doesn't necessarily mix very well.
Not for musicians, no.
Rick Brunig is here, and I want to be sure we get more music. And I don't think we have any upcoming gigs to advertise, so to speak, unless there is something we should mention.
Well, let's see. For March, this is it. This is it for me in March. But let's see. In April, there's a. Now I'm a little north of here, but there's a upholstery company in Wampum, a little town called Wampum,
sure.
Which is right on Route 18. It's called Ferrani Upholstery. This family has been so supportive of roots music, of individuals who get out there and do this, and. They have a furniture store there, and you just play amongst the furniture, and folks get to come in and sit on whatever couch they want to sit on.
What a great idea.
It is just the best. So that's April the 28th, I will be there.
And our station out of Grove City, WSHA, certainly serves Lawrence County. We're, I believe, Wampum's in Lawrence County.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sort of Beaver,
yep.
Near the mine out there. Mm-hmm. What a great idea to have a concert in an upholstery or furniture store. I love it.
Also on the 25th, which is that will be the Earth Day weekend, Elwood City and Ewing Park, they're having a little get-together there. They do every year, and I've been part of that for quite a number of years. So I'll be there too.
Excellent. We'll go to – it's Backwoods Music.
Backwoods Folk.
Folk, sorry about that. Backwoodsfolk.com.
Although I'm not sure that they're going to find anything about that. I had indicated that I thought I would be up and running at this point. I am illiterate when it comes to computer aspects of things, and I really would do better to have someone tagging along with me to help out. But you can at least you can see what my website used to look like anyway. I've got a new one developed, but I'm having problems securing my domain name so I can move it. So
it takes a little time. Well, you could write to Rick, care of that website, and get a hold of him.
Yeah. So part of the program that I've been doing for the seniors includes a song from Wales. And if you don't mind, I would really like to do this particular song. A couple of years ago when I was doing this program up in Meadville, One of the gals come up to me afterwards. She said, "Don't you know any songs from Wales?" And I didn't know whether I did or not. But I asked her why. She said, well, back during the big war, she had met an American serviceman who was in the Army. They started seeing each other and fell in love, and they got married, and she moved back here to the States to be with him and raise a family here. And she told me she's not been back to Wales since.
Hmm.
So I promised her that I would I'd learn a song from Wales. So I went home, got on my computer. I can do that.
Yeah.
And found a song that I really liked. And this is an old Welsh folk song. It's called Down by the Sea in English. And in English, well, how about I just play the song in Welsh. In Welsh, the song is called Ar Lan y Môr. And this is the first song that I ever learned in a different language. So here you go. Ar Lan y Môr. Ar Lan y Môr, my roses go shine. Ar Lan y Môr, my lilies gwenyon. Ar Lan y Môr, my nariad yn ai. I cosgi no y core bore. Ar Lan y Môr, my carag wastad. Cebi min siar am garam cariad O am gicon fedi fed lile Ac am bo gangen o rosemary Ar Lan y Môr, my carag glesion. Ar Lan y Môr, my blood aw mebion. Ar Lan y Môr, my pobrin wedaw. Ar Lan y Môr, my ngariad inaw. Ar Lan y Môr, my ngariad inaw.
Did she ever get a chance to hear that song?
Yeah, yeah. Her name was Sybil. I love that name, Sybil. I went back there and I played it for her, and she sang along in Welsh. So that was,
wow.
That was the best.
that had to be terrific. Rick Bruning here, and there's one more song he's going to play, and it's pretty inspirational to think of you sharing these songs as you visit. It's got to be very, very. I was talking to a music therapist yesterday on a whole different topic, but the power of music to be therapeutic, to be healing, to bring people together is really a great thing.
Larry, I go up to Erie, and one of the first places that I played up there is a sunrise. And there was a gal, when I first started going there, she was fine. She knew everybody that was coming and going up, but they are very big with Alzheimer's patients there. And since I have been going there, she doesn't really know anybody now. But anytime I go up there and play, it's like bringing the old gal back out. And it's just amazing
yeah.
to watch that. It's rewarding to do that.
And what song do you have coming up?
Well, this next song is my most recent song, so it's very new.
3 weeks.
Well, I was sitting in my kitchen, sitting in my kitchen in the morning, and my wife come down the steps, shuffling through the room with her hand on her jaw. She was in big tooth pain.
Oh.
So we had to call the dentist to see if we could get in there. And he said, well, you've got an appointment in a week. Can't you wait? She said, no, I can't wait. So into the dentist's office we went. And while we were waiting, which you do no matter it's a doctor or a dentist, you wait for a while. On the table were some picture books that were put together by a fellow up in Newcastle named John Hitch. And most folks in Newcastle know him. Excuse me. But these books are photographs of what Newcastle was like from the late 1800s up to, I think, the most recent picture I saw was 1970. My family had moved to Newcastle in 1960, and I remember growing up, one of my friends had a paper out in downtown Newcastle. I was his substitute. So I got to take papers in so many of the buildings that no longer exist in Newcastle. I could only look through that picture book only a while before I had to close it and thought, this is not very encouraging. So Newcastle, like so many towns, has gone through the quite a decline. It's a shame to say that about so many towns in western Pennsylvania. So I wrote this song about Newcastle, but I think it could be about just about any town. I call it My Town. Oh, and by the way, before I even sing, Pittsburgh Songwriter Circle, I've been I'm not there as much as I would prefer to be, but I'm playing so much. So anyway, they do create a project every month, and the project for February was to write a waltz. And so this is a song that came about after the music happened. So I wrote the melody for this first, so... It's a bit of a waltz, but it's in three-quarter time, so. My Town. Where are the six-story buildings? Where are the old trolley lines? Have they been raised to the sidewalks? Along with the old five and dimes. Where is the old farmer's market? Where are the boys' shining shoes? Patrons all strolling the sidewalks have vanished from everyone's view. Whatever happened to my town? Where have my memories gone? I don't remember them leaving. This is how time marches on. Sometimes way too fast. Where is the old Rexall drugstore? Who sells the Isley chipped ham? Each time I walk down the sidewalk, another storefront changes hands. Gone is the busy train station, and gone is the grand hardware store. Pawn shops that now line the sidewalks don't carry what I'm looking for. Whatever happened to my town? Where have my memories gone? I don't remember them leaving. This is how time marches on. What then became of the old men? Where do they meet with their friends? Senseless to follow the sidewalks as no one awaits at the end. I guess they meet at McDonald's, and Walmart's a good place to roam.
All that you need is in one place. That's one place I'll never call home. Whatever happened to my town? Where have my memories gone? I don't remember them leaving. This is how time marches on. Where are the six-story buildings? And where are the old trolley lines?